Welcome to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast with co-founders and hosts, Tracy Callahan and Deborah Doak. Each week, we tackle another tough topic to help professional divorce coaches maximize client impact and cultivate thriving practices. We also want to spread the word about the expertise and value that certified divorce coaches bring to the table. At DCA, we are committed to ongoing learning and we value generosity among divorce coaching professionals. We believe that when one succeeds, we all succeed. Welcome back to Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. I am Tracy and I am super excited today to be joined by a friend and colleague, Michelle Browning. Just a little bit about Michelle, and then I'm going to turn it over to Michelle so I'm not talking too much. Michelle is a certified divorce coach and a somatic experiencing practitioner, educator, group facilitator, and mentor coach. She's passionate about bringing nervous system awareness and resources to professionals who work with humans in relationships, transition, conflict, and divorce. And probably one of the coolest human beings I know who's in this field of divorce coaching. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much. I feel the same thing about you. So cool. And it's such a pleasure to spend time with you and to get to learn from you as well. I really want to mention here how much I've learned from being part of the case consult group. I want to give a shout out to everyone who participates in that group. I've learned so much. And I was thinking today about how it is allowing me to expand in ways that my approach to divorce coaching just doesn't necessarily offer me. I learned so much from everyone there. So thank you.
Thanks so much. We're so excited that you've joined the case consultation group and have brought another perspective. And I know I say it a lot, and I'm not going to waste too much of our time in this because I want to talk about somatic and some exciting news that we have in relation to this at Divorce Coaches Academy. But please, I love divorce coach professionals, come join us, be part of a group of other professionals to help expand perspective, right? It's so hard when we work in our own little bubbles, right? And that's inherent in the work we do, right? Which is cool, right? But it often can be limiting, right? And there are opportunities now to expand that in a reflective practice case consultation. And even if you don't have cases to bring, right? Just learning from other people's cases. My takeaways from the last case consultation group, which just happened to be yesterday, was so many. We were just talking about them prior to jumping on. So thanks, Michelle. I really appreciate it. Okay. Right. So everybody who's listening might be wondering what the hell is a somatic experiencing practitioner? Tell us, break this down into language that people can relate to.
So the word soma means of the body. So this title, experiencing practitioner, means that we are focused on what's going on with the nervous system and how is it informing our thoughts, our emotions, and our behavior. So it directly impacts the way that we show up in the world. And yet, in a lot of ways, we bypass it, but it's really at the foundation of everything. So in my role as a somatic experiencing practitioner, I help people come into alignment with their nervous system. So there's an aspect of it that helps people to renegotiate trauma or acute stressors that have landed somewhere in their body. Mm-hmm. And that is not what I do in my role as a divorce coach, though. I use somatic skills to help to resource people so that they can become more flexible, become more expansive, and to become more stable, grounded, and centered when it comes to moving through this process.
Yeah. All huge, huge, important things, right? And I think you're right. Like, I don't know how on a daily basis, people are aware of how their body is reacting or how their body holds experiences, mm-hmm. right? You talk about trauma, but I think, you know, our bodies are often our first indicators that there's something going on here, right?
That's correct.
Whether we listen to the message or not, yes. right? And I think
The body has an amazing way of getting louder and louder and louder until we finally pay attention. So somatic work helps us to bring conscious awareness to those slight cues that we tend to bypass. And by doing that, we can start to work with the nervous system so that it can work with us instead of feeling like it's working against us.
Yeah. Yeah. So sort of that whole person approach.
Exactly. Right?
That holistic process. So you spoke a little bit about, right, you are both things, right? You're a divorce coach and you take your experience as a somatic experiencing practitioner and divorce coaching and really kind of marry them together in the work that you do with clients. So, right. But as I think about this, right, so coaching can somewhat be a really typically cognitive process, right? We think about our thinking, we process the thinking, we make decisions, we engage in sort of that normative or what we think as coaching, right? Okay. So how does somatic awareness fit into sort of that divorce coaching model?
Mm-hmm. I love this question. So in divorce coaching, we acknowledge that the person and the family are impacted legally, financially, and emotionally, and that their co-parenting relationship is getting restructured. But there's also a physical body that's impacted as well. And what's going on there, again, it underpins all the rest of it. So my work is based on the idea, the truth, that we are not logical, we are biological. We are made of nerves and chemicals and hormones and fluids and tissues. And under chronic stress and acute stress, our cognitive capacity is dramatically limited. So people come to us and say that they think they're losing their minds, that they've had sudden onset ADHD or dementia. They become more accident prone. They're getting sick more often. They're sleep deprived. They feel broken and like they're a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
And they often can't even decide what to order off of a menu, right? But we're asking them to make these high stakes decisions in the midst of experiencing this state. So the nervous system doesn't understand cognitive language. So that's why saying calm down in the midst of a heightened state never works.
Just so you know, it's a trigger word for me. When somebody tells me to calm down, I have a visceral reaction to it.
How do you know? I'm curious, Tracy, how do you know you're having a reaction? What do you actually feel?
Yeah. Well, if I'm feeling already anxious and then somebody points out to me, right, one of my triggers is I often present, as I'm sure a lot of people see this as, you know, I'm kind of in control, right? I don't like to control things, but I'm sort of in control of me. So when I'm starting to feel a little out of control and somebody tells me just to calm down, right? I literally have a visceral reaction. My heart starts racing. Yeah. I feel flushed. I become a bit disoriented because now I'm flashing through all of this crazy stuff in my head. It's one of my triggers. I don't have a lot of triggers, but that's one of them. So
that makes
it so interesting that you talk about that, right? If you're somebody just saying, just calm down and you're like, what?
Right. It makes so much sense. You identify as someone who keeps it together, right? And so when you're having a human moment and someone just directs you to calm down, there's going to be a reaction. And so that's how we know when our nervous system is, you named it, triggered. I call it activated. And so in somatic practice, we actually show the body how to access a sense of safety so that it frees up energy to clear that fog, access flexible thinking, creative problem solving, and a sense of agency and confidence can come on board. But without that sense of safety, we stay stuck in those cycles of activation or that stuck sense of collapse or hopelessness that doesn't allow us to move forward.
Yeah, which I think is so important. One of the things that you had mentioned is, right, we're sort of asking people or the process or the system of divorce, right, is asking people to have to make decisions, to engage in big decisions, right? Big. And most what I'm hearing you say, nearly impossible when there's all this other stuff going on in the body, right, that is preventing the ability to actually engage in a cognitive process, which is that decision making. So people can sort of pretend it's not there and then either are continued to get stuck or maybe triage it with then some unfortunate fallout or consequences of the inability to fully engage in an effective decision-making process when they weren't ready or their body wasn't ready to do such.
Exactly. And so the hope is that I can bring this information to coaches and professionals who are working with couples or individuals moving through this process and help them to see them in their wholeness, help them to see that this is a natural response. The body is set up to protect and defend when it feels like it's under threat or if it senses danger. Mm-hmm. And all of these things that they're facing are high stakes issues. And so that's how it registers for a lot of nervous systems.
Yeah. So what are some accessible ways that coaches can bring somatic awareness into their own divorce coaching practices?
Well, first, being responsible for our own nervous system. That's really
ownership.
Yeah. Because you can't fake this. If you're dysregulated, the people that you're working with have no resource in you, right? They're seeking for a more stable, grounded, regulated nervous system to model that, to be in relationship with. And that's, I think, 99% of what coaching is.
Yeah. Starting with us.
Exactly. And so then from there, we can start to discover somatic practices that feel resourcing to us, and we can invite ourselves into regular practice to make sure that we're holding ourselves accountable to doing nervous system regulation work, and then bringing it into practice. So just start by asking clients if they're willing to notice the way that they're holding their bodies, the way they might be bracing or contracted or rigid, and then always asking consent around this. So bringing awareness to this is always a consent issue. And then just taking brief moments throughout their regular day to bring awareness to sensation and emotion. And starting to just get in relationship with being able to name what that trigger actually feels like in the body and how it responds when they bring it some sense of resource, nurturing, whatever that looks like for them. So that's where we begin, is just about bringing awareness and getting in relationship with it. So not bypassing it, not avoiding it or ignoring it.
Yeah.
And then the next place that we go is just playing with it. So playing with different postures. How does someone who has your values, your desires, your new boundaries, how do they stand? How do they hold their body? How do they use their voice? How do they vocalize? What sound would they make if they were in their full agency, their full power?
Wow.
And what do their facial expressions look like, right? So inviting them to fully embody what it is that they're wanting to step into, even if they're not completely there yet, just kind of practicing into what it feels like to embody it.
Yeah. It so reminds me, I know one of the things that we typically do, right, as divorce coaches is in our initial work with clients, we sort of help clients define their best self, right? Who do they vision? Who do they see? And I almost feel like this is more primal, like this almost has to be pre-best self, right?
I love that you're naming this.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because I, as you're describing this, I have this whole vision now of myself very differently, right? Mm-hmm. That I almost feel is more essential to then be able to kind of define that self-actualized state, right? When you were talking about it's biological, it is biological. We can't deny that. Our clients cannot deny that, right? We are physical beings.
Yeah, and that's a revelation for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's, I don't know if for me, I think it's maybe just something we sidestep,
yeah,
right? Or we just don't put that much spotlight on. I think right. Maybe because we expect so much of ourselves, but when yes. we can sort of look at it in that regard, right? Before we could even help clients define who their best self is, I think identifying how all of these systems biologically play out, both in their voice and their facial expression and their posture. So I think that's so awesome. I know, listen, the reality is a lot of our clients are in high conflict as well. So I can imagine some coaches developing some skills and somatic awareness in the work that they're doing with their clients and helping bring that awareness both to themselves and the work that they do as coaches, as you had just mentioned, as well as with consent, offering opportunities for clients to sort of take a look at that as well. There's got to be a huge impact also for individuals who are in conflict, right? And clients in divorce are often in conflict, right? For me, I have not yet met even the most amicable divorce has some level of conflict.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah. By definition, it is 100% what it is.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I find is that when we're under chronic and acute stress, we behave in ways that we wouldn't otherwise. We think things, we feel things, and we behave in ways that we wouldn't otherwise. And the natural progression of that is a lot of shame. Mm. And then we lose trust with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to this inner conflict that can feed conflict. And so when people start to wake up to the fact that what they're responding to is a level of dysregulation in the body, and then the mind tries to make sense of what's happening, what that uncomfortable feeling is. Mm. And then the emotion follows. And then the behavior follows that, which is defensive, protective. It's doing what it's meant to do, right?
Yeah.
It brings down the shame dramatically. And then people can enter into a new relationship with themselves. And also with the person that they're in conflict with, they start to see that they're experiencing the same human experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of shared interest again on a different level.
Mm. Mm. For sure. Shared. I want to name something that you said earlier about best self.
Mm.
There's a moral judgment just baked right into this idea of best self. And I love that you named doing this work in advance of asking, like, who do you ideally want to be, right? Before we can go there, we have to accept exactly where we are right now without judgment. And that's what this work does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. We're not reinventing. And I think that's something that often, that shame that you talk about, right? That we often want to keep hidden, right? Mm-hmm. That vulnerability, vulnerability is one of my most favorite things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fear in being vulnerable, but I think being vulnerable is such a defining quality in terms of being able to have these idealistic, right, or moralistic, or these overarching features of who we are when we're best self. The reality is a self-actualized state is utopia, right? It's the highest level. Not all of us get to reach a level of self-actualization. But I think it's also then how we define, right, what a state of homeostasis or peace or holistic awareness, both in our bodies, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, right, which they're all so intricately connected, is some acceptance too.
Exactly.
Right. And when you were talking about speaking to your body, or right, that our bodies are speaking to us, I'm like, hello, hormones. Cause the first thing that comes up for me is, you know, I'm going to be a sharer again. Right. So I am at the end of menopause or mid menopause, and
welcome.
Yeah. Just kill me. Right. And it's sort of my body screaming at me. And there was a lot of stuff connected to that for me. And there's been recently a lot of interesting work and study coming out with women in menopause and divorce and conflict and relationships, which, you know, what back in the age, that's when the age when women were institutionalized, right? Because they were quote unquote crazy when it was just sort of these biological things that were real,
that are real. And there's a way to honor them as part of this process. So we can just, again, bypass all of that, or we can turn toward it, get curious about it, and include it in the divorce coaching process.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the reasons why we are so excited to have Michelle is because I am excited to share that Michelle is going to bring her awesome approach and experience and training to divorce coaches at Divorce Coaches Academy, and is going to be offering a specialized training in somatic awareness and how to coach divorce overwhelm from a somatic aware approach with our clients. And Michelle, I can't thank you enough for providing this opportunity for divorce coaches who might want to expand this awareness. I don't know about you guys, but even just listening to Michelle, I'm like in a totally different state of calmness. I say that every time I'm with you, I'm like, oh, I just feel so relaxed and happy. So the class is going to be starting on March 13th. It's going to be for 4 weeks. It falls on four Mondays. For if you're in Pacific Standard Time, it's going to be from 4:30 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 to 9. And Michelle, do you want to share just a little bit about the class? And I'm super excited and really grateful for you to be able to offer this through Divorce Coaches Academy. So,
thank you. I'm so honored to be able to, and this is my passion. So I'm really excited to be able to share it. I am really looking forward to being able to help coaches look at how a somatic lens can be laid over the entire framework of divorce coaching. So from the very beginning, how we can co-design a coaching alliance that honors our clients' nervous system state, their pace, and their capacity. So starting from there, and then how to manage your own state so that you can attune to your clients. So that will be a whole session that we do. We'll work on practices for regulating an overwhelmed state. So these are resources that you can share in session with your clients and invite them to practice them on their own. Tools to gently expand capacity for managing stress. So these are skills that they can work with well beyond divorce, and then how to create conditions for flexibility in thought, emotion, and behavior. So again, this is doing the foundational work so that then the brain actually mirrors the flexibility and expansion that the nervous system is experiencing. And then finally, just how to amplify your client's growing resiliency and the foundation that they build for thriving beyond this transition.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And that is, this is going to be, and I'm super excited that I'm going to be participating in the training as well. I mean, that is a lot of amazing information. And I learned so much in this just short conversation about ourselves. And I had a lot of aha moments as you were speaking, Michelle. So if you also had some aha moments, or if you were some intrigued and or interested in exploring this and how some of the somatic awareness can be used as real strategies and techniques and resources for clients, I encourage you to check out the class. It'll be in the show notes as well, but you can visit Divorce Coaches Academy and check it out and look to learn more and register. Michelle, thank you so much for your time. It is always a pleasure. I feel I'm going to leave this podcast in a calmer state than I came in. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Have a great day, Tracy.
All right, everyone. I look forward to you tuning in at our next podcast. But for today, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us for the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. It helps other divorce professionals find us and add to the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media to be the first to know when we add new classes and events. We'll be back next week with another topic to help you maximize client impact, create a thriving business, and promote the value of professional divorce coaching.